Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting, June 23rd, 2025.
The June 23rd, 2025, this Ventnor City Planning Board meeting now in session. Is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice that this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the board in the municipal building. At this time, rise and salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our board administrator, please call the roll.
Joe Ianazelli.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
Here.
Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Peter Taco.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Wendy Bartlett.
Here.
Jessica Stilley.
Here.
Absent are Mayor Kriebel and Commissioner Landgraf.
At this time, we go to adoption of the minutes of the last meeting. Are there any amendments or changes to the said minutes? Hearing none or seeing none, may I have a motion to adopt and a second?
A second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? The ayes carry it. The minutes are hereby adopted. We have one resolution, we have one resolution to be adopted from the last meeting, and that is P16 of 2025 at 516 North Somerset Avenue. Are there any amendments or changes to that resolution? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second to adopt?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes carry. That resolution is hereby adopted. This evening we have two applications. The order of events will be 18 North Troy LLC will be first, and then SJ Howe Properties will be second. At this time, will the police come forward for the property at 18 North Troy Avenue for presentation?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have to recuse myself.
Okay. Let the record reflect. Dan Smith is recusing himself. He's physically stepping away from the board during this hearing. Daniel, will you be joining us for the next hearing?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. You gotta do a preamble. Have a hold on both.
Get Roger's sworn in.
I'm going to swear Mr. McLaren.
Mr. McLaren will be sworn in at this time.
Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Bailenson, the floor is yours.
Thank you, members of the board.
We're going to do a preamble first, so get your witnesses and everybody sworn in.
Okay.
And then Roger will do a preamble, and then you continue with
it. It's time to screw around. Pardon
me?
Tape.
There's both sides, Chris. There's two sides.
Yeah. I'll take it apart.
What do you want it?
You want everybody sworn first?
Jeff. Yes, please.
Steve and John.
All right. Mr. Fenwick, Mr. Barnhart, just state your name and business address for the record. I'll swear the two of you in together.
John Barnhart, office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Stephen Fenwick, 646 Ocean Heights Avenue, Linwood, New Jersey.
And please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
For the record, the credentials of Mr. Barnhart are here as an engineer and planner. Mr. Fenwick, just for the record, state you're a licensed architect?
And a planner.
What?
And a planner.
And a planner also. And that, your credentials are...
I'm older than John.
And your credentials are accepted, although you know you're old man. Take care. Okay, please proceed. Roger, you're up first.
Sure.
Preamble.
Real quick. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. The report is based on the application of 18 North Troy LLC, located at 18 North Troy Avenue, Block 124, Lot 6.03, Ventnor, New Jersey. Engineering and planning report, seeking C variances and minor subdivision approval, located in the R4 single-family residential zones. Preliminary firm is, indicates it's at elevation 9, it's the PFS. Deemed complete, it's a substantial benefit variance application. And the materials reviewed on bottom of page 1, continue on page 2, as well as the plans reviewed in order to construct the report. Project description is as follows. The applicant is proposing to subdivide an existing oversized lot into two non-conforming lots in regard to bulk requirements such as area and width. The site is located on the western side of Troy Avenue, across the street from the Ventnor Professional Plaza site. Variance relief is required for these proposed non-conformities. The proposal is to construct two 2.5-story single-family units, replacing one non-conforming duplex with a detached garage. The existing structures will be demolished prior to any approvals and map filing. Excuse me. The site is located at AE Zone and proposed to be fully compliant with flood. The site is located in the R4 zoning district, surrounded by the R7 district and adjacent to the mixed-use zone. So the zoning chart is on page 2, continue page 3. There are 4 variances, 2 each, for each lot. Lot area, proposed lot A, lot B. Whereas 2,312 square feet is a minimum area for newly created lots. 4,250 square feet exists, and 2,125 square feet is the end result of each lot for area-wise. And lot width for each lot, proposed lot A, proposed lot B. Minimum lot width is 37 feet, 64 feet exist, and 34 feet each is proposed require variance for minimum lot width. I'm not going to go through all my general comments, but all provisions of the title recordation law, NJSA 46:26B-1 shall be met. All other comments, and I'll leave it up to the applicant to review the comments as needed, provide his testimony on why these variances should be granted. Sorry, Chris.
Chris, please go forward.
Thank you very much, board members. My name is Chris Balance, and I represent applicant Mike Fiore and his entity, whatever that was. Mike Fiore, with his wife right here. They purchased the Troy Avenue property 10 North in a couple years ago, and it consists now of a duplex and a side driveway kind of thing to a two-car garage. It's a non-conforming duplex in the R4 zone. The proposal is to eliminate the duplex, bring the property into conformance with the R4, purpose of the R4 zone, which is to preserve the residential character of Ventnor with single-family homes. In order to do that, we're asking for a variance for lot width and lot area for each lot. As Roger pointed out, lot width is 34, required is 37. Lot area is required to be 2,312. It's 2,125. It's about 185 square feet off for the entire lot, per lot. Those are the only two variances. Steve Fenwick prepared house plans to show you what will be built on the property, to show you very nice single-family homes that conform in all respects and, in fact, do better than the underlying zoning. For instance, coverage for the building, coverage for the lot, both under what's allowed. Landscaping in the front yard and landscaping in the entire lot are both over for what's required. You'll see and you'll hear from John that the zone that these lots are in, the R4 zone, is a very limited zone in the center of Ventnor. It's about a 4-block area with a slightly larger lot size, and I'm not sure that it actually worked out to be that way, because you'll hear from John A substantial majority of the lots in the R4 zone are undersized, either smaller or consistent with what we're proposing. And surrounding the R4 zone is the R7 zone, where this subdivision would be permitted. In fact, these lots would be larger than the minimum lot size in the R7 zone. So I'm not the kind of guy who's going to bring in a subdivision. I haven't been in front of you guys with a minor subdivision unless it's by right in a long time. And I wouldn't venture to bring one in unless I thought it was at least a reasonable suggestion in order to, number one, bring the property into conformance with zoning, and number two, improve the block. And I don't think it's a question, but the two new single-family homes on that block off the commercial district would be a nice addition to that area. John, I'm going to call Steve. Want to testify first, please? Just, Steve, you've been sworn already.
Is the light picking him up? Is the light picking him up?
I turned that off.
Is that one? You can use this. Don't worry about it.
For the purposes of the minor subdivision, typically it's by right, you don't see house plans. We'll present house plans to show you that even on the 34-foot lot versus 37, you can build a new single-family home. You guys know, we have lot sizes that are permitted at 32 feet. And with that lot, a lot of lots are 30 feet. These houses, as you'll hear, meet all zoning criteria. There's no variance to the utility. And it's slightly smaller than you would otherwise be able to build. Steve, if you will, you designed two houses for yours that we showed with this package of cement. And did you take any consideration when you designed the houses? The fact that these lots are slightly smaller, those permitted in the zone, and adjust accordingly?
Yes, I mean, we looked at different ways to skin the cat before we started, and we thought this was the, considering the existing house has a dwelling unit on the ground level fully in the flood. And,
I turned it off because it's too close.
This is wireless.
Chris, do you want to hand this out to the board and just show them the existing condition? So it's a duplex now, and we're proposing two single-family houses that conform to the building code, the flood code requirements in particular. And they, in my opinion, I didn't get a chance to read Roger's report, but I heard that he had this image that we both planted together, I guess, which just shows the shows the streetscape and the arrangement of the existing building stock. And we felt that this was reasonable, conformed, and it met all the bulk requirements except for lot width and lot size. But we actually could exceed the bulk requirements, provide two houses that met all the flood requirements. You couldn't really renovate that place properly because you'd go over the 50% rule. And it was just, we just thought this was the optimum solution, not just for the Fioris, but for the city's plan. The house is, the first level is all garage, storage, and entry access. The second story is the great room and living space with a real nice porch on the street. The next floor up is the bedrooms, and the top floor has the master suite.
See, the third floor space on the plan is about 400 square feet.
420 square feet.
That's well within 50% of the second floor.
Yes. That really is, yes.
And here's how the house appears. This is kind of not fair because there's really another building right here and another building right here. It kind of looks like it's all on its own, but that's the aesthetic of the house. It's a traditional seashore-looking house with a nice front porch. You have two car spaces conforming. Well, maybe they're not conforming, and we can adjust for that. We can make those spaces conform quite easily. We have room and...
Three spaces per house?
I believe Chris was telling me that the interior space, we should have made 10 foot by 20 foot. We can do that. We can just adjust that shower in the back of the garage, no problem, and get the 10 by 20. And we need 19 feet from the property line to the face of the garage door wall. And we can just push that wall back a foot on the garage side. It'll actually look nice.
And even the existing construction does not comply with...
It doesn't comply with anything. It doesn't comply with flood requirements. I don't believe it complies with yards, et cetera.
Thank you very much. We'll get to you next.
Mr. Fenwick, what is the existing bedroom count of the prior structure of the existing duplex?
What was the question, Jay?
Roger has it right in his report, 6 versus 10. Roger has it right in his report.
Okay, but it's...
6 currently, it's 4-2, and it's 5-5.
Okay, so your existing building has 6.
Correct.
And you're requesting 10.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
That's true.
Now, when we're talking about houses, let me just clarify a couple of things we'll dispute on the zoning chart.
Sure.
The houses that are proposed, the landscape in the front is over the 5% that's required, all right?
Yeah, that is correct.
And the landscape for the entire yard is required to be at least 25% for the entire lot. It's required to be 25%, it's 31%.
That's correct.
And lot coverage, where you're required, you're allowed to go up to 75%, these properties are at 68 and change.
Correct.
And same with respect to building coverage, that is also under the 50% that is allowed. Is that right?
That is correct.
Height complies?
Yes.
Parking complies?
Yes.
Okay.
We go, Chris?
Okay, so I'm going to start with the subdivision plan that was submitted with the application. There's been no change to it. It's just a mounted version of the plan that was submitted. In the upper left corner, you see the survey of the property. It is a lot that is a little bit uniquely sized, and that is 68 feet wide. It's a lot size you don't normally see. And it had a depth of 62.5 feet. And as was already pointed out, there's an existing two-unit structure that sits on the building, and then a separate two-car detached garage with a driveway element, or a driveway that leads into the garage. The building is not compliant with regard to flood. It is not compliant with regard to setbacks. It's a building that is in need of redevelopment, and that's why we're here this evening.
Well, but it is a medium existing duplex permitted to continue, just to ground 20 minutes.
That is correct. That is correct. So what we've proposed, we believe, is a good, really, really good fit for this location. And you know, undersized lot cases are always difficult in every community. But we believe that, hopefully you'll agree, that this project fits extremely well at this specific location, and that these deviations are justified. So the proposal is to subdivide the parcel into two lots. Each lot will be 34 feet wide, 62.5 feet deep. But that layout does create a lot width variance, where we are proposing 34 for each of the lots and 37 is required. And it creates a slight lot area variance, where we are proposing 2,125 square feet and 2,312 square feet, I believe is the number, is required. So it's important to keep in the back of your mind in this discussion that this is a two-unit building. And as we know, in many projects that we've done, you know, it's not a typical thing that you see somebody willing to give up the existing density that they've had legally existing for many, many years. So what we're trying to do is create a scenario which allows the property to be redeveloped. Obviously, the owner doesn't want to lose the ability to have two units, but do it in a fashion that makes sense. And what we believe makes sense here is to create two fee simple individual building lots for single-family home construction and eventual home ownership. So the question is, how do you reconcile the idea that that is the right plan for this location? This is an interesting part of town because it's in the R4 zoning district. The R4 zoning district, in this area of town, there are a number of other areas that are also R4, but this specific area of R4 is only made up of like 4.5 blocks, I'll call it. And you can see on this exhibit I have here that we've created, the red dashed line that you see that I'm outlining with my finger creates the R4 zoning district. I don't know if you can all, you might be blocked by that. Let's see if I can bring that a little bit. Completely surrounding that rectangle is R7 district. Both to our north, to our south, to our east, to our west. Other than immediately across Troy Avenue from us is the MU district, which actually that block recently was approved for a redevelopment plan that also provided for a density that was very similar to the R7 district. So when you look at this area, not just in our R4 district, when you take it in every direction, the densities of these properties and the size of these properties are very, very consistent with one another. So now let's drill down on specifically what's in the R4 district and what's around us. All of the red, pink shaded lots that you see are non-conforming lots or undersized lots for the R4 district. However, many of them are conforming or actually even undersized for the R7 district. Just to put some numbers to that, in this R4 district area, there are a total of 114 lots that exist. Of those 114 lots, 77 of them are non-conforming lots. They are 30 feet, the preponderance of them are actually 30 feet width. There are some 32s, there are some 34s, some 35s. But 68% or 77 of the lots in this R4 district don't meet the R4 standard. So the development pattern has not changed over the years. It is not R4. It is more geared toward all of the surrounding area, which is the R7 zoning district.
Yeah, so the lot size is in that 114 lot R4 zone?
Yes.
Consistent in terms of the variation of sizes with the entire area, including the R7 zone, all that.
That's correct. So, take it a step further, if you look further into the R4 district, you say, well, there are still, 32% of the lots are conforming. Well, the majority of them are one lot. You see, for some reason, there's one lot that has maintained larger lot sizes, but when you look at all the surrounding blocks in that R4 district, the large majority of them are greatly undersized. And many of the lots along the blocks to the west, are actually 30-foot lots, which are smaller than what we are proposing.
You know, our side, Troy Avenue, and our block on the same side are 30-foot lots and 32-foot lots, smaller than what we're proposing.
That is correct.
And so behind us, the whole frontage of that street is 30-foot lots.
When you say behind us?
Behind us, from
even behind us, there are lots undersized, and then across the street, those are all undersized as well. That's correct. So we believe that by allowing this property to be redeveloped, not giving up on the two units, allowing the property to be redeveloped into lots that are 100% consistent with the surrounding pattern of development is a better planning alternative than number one, leaving the property as is, or number two, trying to renovate the property as a two-unit building. The lot sizes, lot areas, lot depths, setbacks, and all the things that we are proposing with this application completely conform to the R7 zoning. And this is a scenario where when you look at this exhibit and you really study it, you wonder how it got to R4 zoning, honestly, because the lots don't, that's not how they sit. And they're certainly not being consolidated.
And what I found further interesting is, if even if you apply the R7 zoning, or left it as R7, I'm guessing it probably was R7 at one point in history, although I don't know that for certain. If you apply the R7 zoning, you know, the concern is, does it create a bunch of new subdivisions? All these lots will still be undersized, because they're not big enough to create 34-foot lots like we're proposing. The R7 really just puts all the residents in this neighborhood in a bad situation, and we believe that the pattern of development, the density development, obviously falls and meets all the surrounding blocks of this R4 area, which is exactly what our project is proposing.
Well, what's the minimum block width of the R7?
32 feet.
We're actually 34 feet.
We're at 34 feet, that's correct.
So not looking to bottom out at what R7, minimum R7 would be, we're actually proposing something bigger, with respect to
slightly bigger, that is correct. Yes. Yeah. So in order to justify the variance, you have to obviously, as we know, establish the positive criteria. We believe that this is an application that promotes the general welfare. So how can we say that? Well, first of all, we're getting rid of a building that is a non-conforming structure. It's a two-unit building, which is not permitted in the R4 zone. We're proposing to go to two separate, individual, detached, single-family homes. Second, we're getting rid of a bunch of existing nonconformities with regard to the building and flood standards of that existing building. Third, we believe that this site is particularly well-suited, which establishes the general welfare. And the reason that we believe the site is particularly well-suited for what we propose is exactly what I've described and shown on this exhibit. This is a very, very consistent proposal with not just the property behind us or next to us, but the entirety of the R4 zoning district in this area. I mean, just think about those numbers. Almost 70% of the lots are the same or smaller in size than what we propose in this area, even though they don't comply. So for those reasons, we believe that the positive criteria are clearly established through the promotion of general welfare. With regard to the negative criteria, is there a substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance? Well, as Mr. Fenwick described his buildings and Mr. Bailenson took us through the bulk standards, none of the bulk standards are being varied from with regard to setback, coverage, height. The only two items that we are requesting relief from are total lot area and total lot width, which again, I go back to the consistency of the development pattern at this location. And the test here is there a substantial detriment to the zone plan? I would argue in this case, this is a better situation because of the fact that we're being so consistent with our surrounding neighbors. The second prong of the negative criteria is whether there is a substantial detriment to the public good. Getting rid of the existing nonconformities, we think, is a benefit to the neighbors. The building is older. It needs either rehabilitation or reconstruction. We are not asking for any parking variances, so we are, we're not going to put additional cars on the street. We will completely compliant with that, and we will be very much consistent with the new development that's likely to be upcoming directly across the street with us, which is hopefully going to be absolutely beautiful homes on that property. So, for those reasons, we believe there is certainly no substantial detriment to the public good either. Which establishes the negative criteria.
When you look at a case like this, so relying on following this language law, whether or not it works or not, one of the things you look at is whether or not you can bring perspective of use, bring the property conforming with the use of it. So, one of the things we'll do is eliminate non-conforming use in the duplexes.
That's correct. It's an existing duplex use that is permitted to remain, and it is not a permitted use in this zone at all.
What that dovetails into is whether or not, when you look at it, is whether or not this is a better zoning alternative for the property as it is or for the property where it could be.
Yeah, and this, based on my testimony already, this is 100% a better planning alternative to create two lots that are fee simple detached units that are very consistent with the neighboring properties.
The alternative being duplex remains, it's renovated. Or a house gets built potentially at that location that's 4 feet off each side lot line, straight across, besides that lot, with a house that would likely be out of character in that neighborhood.
Yeah, the potential is there for that, which would certainly be out of character because, as you can see, the lot sizes are not developed as 68-foot lots. Most of the lots are in the low 30s, 30, 32, 34.
So while hoping that would happen across the street, we're going to we know that a special house across the street would generate a catalyst for new development.
Yes.
This certainly follows that. Thank you.
100%, and that, you know, that's kind of what you hope happens around the redevelopment area.
Thank you very much, that's what we have.
I just have a question, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, or maybe I'm misunderstanding. I just need clarity on each house. How many bedrooms are in each house? Because in your descriptions, it says four. This says five, and then there's also, there's also a master bath on the third floor, a master suite. So to me, that adds six.
That's in the narrative. This is four narrative, that's my statement.
Okay, I just need clarity.
Not six bedrooms, just one.
So the space that's showing is the fifth bedroom is a what? You have on the second floor, two, three, four, and five. So the bedroom that's showing is number five. What is that space?
The number one is the bedroom, so five bedrooms.
No, but the master suite is on the third floor.
Right. Correct. There's four on the second floor, four bedrooms.
So where do you see bedroom number four, that is the whole front of the house, say that would be one bedroom, not four and five?
The front of the house has two bedrooms, bedroom four and bedroom five.
Right.
Master bedroom number one is on the third
floor. Master bedroom is
number one. Okay.
Number five.
Okay.
Five. So there's
got
five
total. I said that.
Not four.
Is there anything preventing a single family, architecturally beautiful home to be built on this lot? In keeping with that, the city is now working with an applicant across the street to create a beautiful redevelopment area. And I would think that it would be nice not to create more substandard lots across the street from this, but to create something that is breathtakingly beautiful, well landscaped, and it would add to what's being built across the street. But is there anything preventing a single family house that is consistent with zone four being built on a lot?
Practically speaking or technically speaking?
Both.
So technically speaking, I would say, of course, there is not anything preventing that from happening.
Okay.
Practically speaking, you have a two-unit building, and you
but
have.
But it's non-conforming. It's a.
No, I understand that, but you have
so
a legal two-unit building.
It's not something that was desired. It got snuck through in 4 years ago. So it's not something that we should reward.
But you're not. But no, you're not rewarding. You're not rewarding this developer. You are. What you're doing is you're accepting the developer's alternative plan, which is not for him to lose a unit, but to have two very beautiful homes that are much more consistent with the development pattern of that block. And it's not, in this specific case, it's not even that block. It's this whole R4 zone. I mean, you know, it's one thing if you have a one-off lot here or there and you try to subdivide it, but this is an area that, I'm going to be honest, it shouldn't be R4. From a planning perspective, it should be an R7 zone. and no. You're proposing an R7 project. So, I mean, as far as creating a consistent development with what's around you, and frankly, your discussion about the neighboring project, which is going to be beautiful, this project would be more consistent with that than one big lot of a 68-foot lot with a big home on it. This project, as proposed, would be more consistent with what's proposed across the street, based on the size of the units, based on the size of the lot. So, keeping it as one lot, practically speaking, we don't think makes sense.
Well, I do. I feel that since there are so many undersized lots in the area, having a larger lot remain in the city of Ventnor is a treasure for the city and something that should move forward.
But you have to look at the location and
It's not going to happen. That's right.
For practice.
I do want to say we have had discussions, I agree, that should be R7. Ideally for the board now is...
They changed the lots.
It's R4. If it was R7, they could have 3 units.
Then if it was R7, it wouldn't be here.
And they could do 3 units by right.
So the house is currently there, six bedrooms?
Six bedrooms.
So now we're going to have eight. I'm thinking about with the new development across the street, is this making for more congestion, even though it's a very wide street, which is wonderful? You're adding a lot of homes that were never there. And, you know, one thing we've always struggled with all the time is having too much density.
Of course.
And by shrinking down the lot size and accepting that, I don't know if that's in the best interest of the city.
Understood. We're not changing that.
Well, you are by putting extra bedrooms in.
And this is only just the question we're ready now. There's no conclusion to adding bedrooms because we have a parking lot next to it. And one of the too much remains, it will be renovated. And it will probably be 2 units.
Well, that exists, and that's not something we have control of. This we have control of.
Well, you could relieve it. You could relieve the existing problem. The existing duplex is doesn't conform to the rear yard and doesn't even get close to the front yard. So it's right up by the sidewalk. The garage itself, actually, although there's a lot of light in there in the driveway, it doesn't comply with the rear yard and the side yard either. So you would be relieving the light and air to the neighbors by proposing these two separate buildings, which conform.
What is the setback of the front of the existing building?
The existing front yard setback is 6.59 feet, Jay, where I think, I don't know what's required, 10 maybe?
10.
If I'm not mistaken, did
we're going 19.
Also for side yard setbacks.
One person speak at a time, please.
Sorry.
Okay. What is the front setback existing on the existing building?
6.59 feet.
What is the proposed setback on the new buildings?
It's, the front of the garage door is 19 feet. It's almost 20 feet. The porch projects out, so I don't want the porch projects out. The front wall is going to be 18 feet, and the porch is 7. And you can see that the porch is an open element, and it's only at 6 to 7 feet tall. We have to change the porch now. The building's 19. The curious, and I think, look carefully at who the builder is renovating
the existing duplex, and you couldn't do it without, you know, meeting the exceeding the 50%.
What is the rear setback of the existing?
The rear setback, Jay, is 5.45.
What is proposed?
Wait a minute. 10. Is that right?
Yes.
No, 6.94 feet.
And then proposed is, what is it, 10, Chris?
10.
So that'll all open up there nicely.
I think the lot number right now is probably 100%, close to 95%.
What is it?
You don't have the calculation.
What is the current proposed lot coverage is what?
We don't have it calculated.
What is the proposed lot
coverage? 69%.
Proposed lot coverage,
Mr. Cooper, for each lot is allowed to be 50%. It's about...
Lot coverage is allowed to be 75 or 69.
It's allowed to be 50. I'm sorry, it's allowed to be 75, but that's 68. Lot coverage for each lot is allowed to be 75 going to 68.
Lot coverage is less.
Building coverage is allowed to be 50, where it will be at 47.
Well, exceed, okay. And
landscaping is over in each lot and front yard.
And landscaping is required.
Landscaping on the lot is required to be 25%, it's 31%. On the front yard, it's required to be 5%, it's 7.5%.
Okay. So the variances you're seeking then are specifically for what?
The width of the lot area and the lot area, square footage.
Are you seeking any variances?
The width is off by 3 feet. The square footage is off by about 175.
We comply with it, exceed all.
Are you seeking any variances to the building whatsoever?
No, there are no variances with respect to either building. I would suggest that the zoning criteria is improved upon even what the zoning standards are, the R4 zone. Front yard setback is better, rear yard setback is conformed, side yard setback is conformed, coverages are better, landscaping is better.
How many feet are you deficient in the frontage of the lot?
Excuse me?
How many feet are you deficient in the frontage of the lot?
Three feet.
Three feet?
Yes. And for an R7 zone, 4 feet over. 2 feet over.
Okay.
But it's not R7.
I'm not yet. I gotta make a hit.
How many square feet are you short?
About 175. The station is 2,125 we have. Required is 2,312. So it's 175, 187 square feet off.
What are the lots adjacent to that, this building?
Lots to the left of this lot are 32, 30, and 30. It's the right, they vary from 32 to 34. Behind it is a line of 30s, so it's about 6 in a row.
What are the adjoining lots to the rear? What is the width of these?
35
feet.
Sorry?
The lots that are joining to the rear are...
The rears are 35 feet.
They're 35 feet. They're correct. 1 foot difference.
Right.
1 foot difference, that's correct.
And if you look at the photo of the project report, they match up on it. It looks visually, they match up. Division.
So, Steve, you gave testimony if you are successful tonight, you'd be able to push that garage door in the face of that building on the ground floor back 1 foot.
Yes, we
can. It looks like you have 20 feet on the inside anyway.
Yes, we can do that.
Okay.
And conform.
You would comply with everything by making those small changes.
Say that again, Roger.
You would be able to comply with everything if you make those small changes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to read the report, but yes, with the parking 19 feet back, 10 by 20 inside, no problem.
Not asking for any variances for houses. Just not which is left.
Yeah. But the house is
going to
be sprinkled.
Yes. Oh, for the fire
perspective?
Fire.
No, I think so.
There's no current code requirement that I'm aware of. However, the state of New Jersey has been passing laws through the legislature changing fire protection, which came up on a townhouse project recently because the building code doesn't require fire suppression in townhouses. There are multiple single families for the building code, but the state of New Jersey said, oh yes, they do. And they passed a law, but no, none of the architects knew that. One of the inspectors brought it to my attention.
Yes or no?
No.
No?
Okay.
We would like if they did this.
Well, that's something to be...
It's not required, you're absolutely right. It's not 175.
Right.
It's meeting on what?
Not yet, anyway.
Yes.
Yeah,
The house is going to be sprinkled with a sprinkler fire suppression system.
Yeah, it's that, I don't know, it's not R3, it's something, yeah.
With the parking provided, what is the rationale of putting in the fifth bedroom in instead of having a fourth bedroom? With the three spaces of parking in each building. Typically, you see that in a four-bedroom. What is the rationale of putting a five-bedroom in with the three parking places?
I think the rationale was we could make it comfortably fit within the bulk allowance of the building. You know, the height and the footprint of the building. We're able to get four nice bedrooms on a standard floor. And then we tuck one up in the roof, the master suite. That was the rationale.
Four bedrooms require two spaces. Five requires two.
Bobby?
Four bedrooms require two. Five bedrooms require two.
I understand that. But our parking is always a critical factor. And so we like to utilize as best we can. So my question is it a wise move to put the fifth bedroom in rather than keeping four? And that's all just from the standpoint of the utility of the building and it actually is use.
I mean, the floor plan can certainly be modified for one of the second floor bedrooms to be an office, take a closet out, take a bathroom out of it, so his office, and it will be a four-bedroom home. That's easily done.
Well, would you consider that?
Yes. I'm telling you right now that would ask for initial approval. One of the bedrooms would be modified, do not look like a bedroom, does not have a closet or a bathroom inside of it.
Well, it's not the question of that. It's the question, your application is amended to be a four...
Well, many applications have applied, yes.
Be a four-bedroom application rather than a five. Is that appropriate to the board?
What's the difference if it was a bigger bedroom? Just one bigger bedroom instead of taking a closet?
Try to work with the chair.
Okay, no, he's throwing something, I'll throw him something. Instead of four on one floor, three on one floor, one bigger.
Oh, right.
I think that what we really need to focus on, in my opinion anyway, is do we really want to create two smaller lots, regardless of the fact that it's almost in the R7, it's not. So I think that's the bigger issue here. You know, they could put a study in a year from now, make it into a bedroom. We can't control that. So I don't think it's a matter of how many bedrooms. I think it's, do we really want more undersized lots in the city? We have a lot of them.
I think the real issue is here is...
For those who are okay with the lot size and are concerned about the bedroom count, we will modify the floor plan to make two bedrooms, one large bedroom. So there are truly four bedrooms.
I think the real issue here before the board is looking at what you're looking at as far as criteria and determining what constitutes an undersized or a change. The reality is you're looking at 1 foot in here or less than 10%. Typically in a 10% rule and so on. And in an area that goes in with a developmental pattern is such that you have to look at your developmental pattern as well. And you have to look at the de minimis sizes and so on. And it's not about just strictly semantics. It's about the facts and figures. And the board should be deciding on facts and figures and developmental pattern and not just definitions. That's how it gets decided. It's facts and figures, not words. So with that, that's your decision that the board should be reaching on and looking at. How you come to that conclusion is your analysis of what goes done. But there's practicality and there's reality. And in some cases, you can't visually determine that the change is so de minimis that you can't even see it. If that's the case, and the patterns are there, we have to look at those figures and be fair. The board has to look at fairness and the approach and what goes on. So I've said what I have to say, and we'll go forward.
Yeah, I think we're going to the public. Almost rather see it as five bedrooms. I think it makes it more desirable of a home, and I don't know how everybody else feels about it.
I didn't care about four bedrooms and
what's that?
I didn't care about the five bedrooms.
Yeah, I think it makes it more desirable. They're not proposing eight or six bedrooms. I think five's reasonable. I wish I had fit them.
I'm flexible on the subject as far as I think.
Let me say this with respect to, there's a gentleman here, Mr. Lewis, who lives behind us. You were asking about the lots behind us. His shed encroaches onto our property up to about 12 inches, and I told Mr. Lewis that that's fine. So he's not concerned. We'll give him a license agreement or an easement, so he doesn't have to modify.
Let's open it up to the public if we can.
To modify that. That's fine. I'm just trying to put everything in the record at once, and then we can deal with it otherwise.
Can we open it up to the public? At this time, I'd like to open up to the public. Is there any comment by anyone who wishes to make it in the public? Please be sworn, sir.
Just give us your name and address, House.
Steve Wilson, 21 North Richards, Venice, New Jersey.
21 North. Mr. Wilson, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
So I had the property behind, I guess it's lot B, where the garages are. I've been there for 30 years. The house is in my girlfriend's name. I've always maintained that property when nobody else would. There's about a foot between the back of the garage and my property that I'm asking for, because when I bought the house, there's a shed that sits maybe 6 inches onto the lot property. I have no problem with what they're going to build. I just want to have that area so I don't have to tear up my backyard and rebuild it again. You guys follow what I'm saying with the back, with the garage area?
We know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be between...
We'll follow that.
Yeah.
We'll follow that. And you have the, what would be the empty space now, next behind you?
The garage, what?
I understand there's going to be a house there, you're okay with that?
Yes, as long as I have that, the property, I don't have to move my stuff around, I'm fine with it.
We will work with Mr. Lewis and get that straightened out. Wilson and Lewis, where are they?
The Eagles. Joint company.
Anyone else wish to speak before the board? Any other comment? Hearing no other comment, the public portion is now closed. Chris, do you have anything else you wish to add?
No, we're gonna leave the application as was. We will do the sprinklers. There's a fire prevention method. We'll keep the 5 bedrooms as shown on the plan and leave the parking as is. We just really came in and thought it was a better plan for the property, much better plan, and we hope you feel the same.
Can we say no more than 5 bedrooms?
No more.
Okay. At this time, are there any questions of the professionals, the applicant?
I'm sorry, Jay. What is it? Do you know the width of the existing curb cut that's there? I didn't see it on the chart.
Yeah, it's not dimensioned.
And the reason I ask that is on the plan, it has 20-foot curb cuts, but on Roger's report, it says 18. So I wasn't sure which one it is.
Mr. Fiore said he thinks the curb cut, the press curb, is at least as wide as the two-car garage, if not further.
And so then my other question is, on Roger's plan,
They will be 18.
I see 18, but on the plan I see 20. Are they 20 foot or 18?
Whatever they're allowed to be, they're going to be.
The curb cuts will be 18 feet.
Because I'm just trying to figure out, it's 36 feet worth of curb cut in the new scenario versus the one existing right now. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
218.
It appears at some level of at least one street parking is going to also.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. At this time, we'll make a motion to the gentleman, please.
Okay. So we'll need a motion for the following relief. It's a minor subdivision approval to create the two new lots, and then each new lot has two variances for the lot width. They're proposing 34 feet for each lot and 37 feet is the requirement, and then the lot area for each lot, they're proposing 2,125 square feet or 2,312 square feet is the requirement. So those are the variances with the minor subdivision approval. In terms of conditions, as Mr. Fenwick represented, he's going to push the parking area back to make it, both houses are going to comply with all requirements of our zoning ordinances. The applicants agreed to provide sprinklers for fire suppression in each house. Mr. Balance has indicated it'll work with Mr. Wilson as to the encroachment over the property to allow that to continue. And maximum of 5 bedrooms, and the curb cuts will meet the compliant at 18 feet in width each. That's the, and then the standard other conditions. Anything else in Mr. McLaren's report, subject to outside approval through the county, whatever other approvals they might need. That's the motion and the second and the roll call vote.
I'll
make the motion.
May I have a second, please?
A second.
Okay, and a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Joanne Nizelli.
Thank you, Brad. It's very important.
It's not required yet, but it is on. No variance needed. I think it is approved. A little more dense, yes, but probably across the street.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in the affirmative. When you look at the big picture, the property follows the developmental pattern of the neighborhood itself. In fact, it exceeds it and so on in many cases. The variances that are requested are for the lot size. The concessions they're giving are worth of the house, which requires absolutely no variances whatsoever. And at the same time, the variances requested on the land are so de minimis that they're probably not recognizable to the visual eye. The particular zones we know are, shall we say, somewhat confusing. And this is probably belongs in the smaller zone. But this is the way this area has been zoned, and it's problematic. Hereby, though, the development of it is two new properties, which we could use in our housing stocks, which will improve the neighborhood. And the area in that particular area needs all the influence it can to upgrade and continue to upgrade with new properties and replace obsolete housing. It is congruent with the master plan in that it's furthering the stocks of the city and also rejuvenating our tax base as well. Consequently, I've seen with the aspects of the fire safety that they've consented to and other things, it sets a prime example of somebody cooperating with the board and looking into the future. I think the fire safety side of it, which they consented to, is significant and is something that into the future, because these structures in their own right are relatively close together when you get the eave heights and so on, that it's directed the benefit to the safety of the community and going forward. So I applaud this move in this particular area, and I thank the applicant for doing so. But this is a property that will last and will show, and it is typical, and it fits in very well. I vote yes.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
I vote no on the subdivision. Parking is the number one issue we face with every application that we have before us. By having two driveways instead of one, we've eliminated parking. We're adding to the crisis of inadequate parking in Ventnor. Secondly, we're adding two additional undersized lots. We have too many of them. It would be wonderful to maintain as many large lots in this city as we could for the future. So I don't see how this is an advantage. And my read of the master plan, it says there's too much density. So by creating the subdivision, we're adding to the density, which I think is what the master plan is saying we shouldn't do. So on that, I say no.
Lorraine Salata.
I echo much of what Roman said. I just find it interesting because when we had meetings regarding the new development of what will be in the building across the street, one of the things that we really focused on was the density of how many units would go in there and parking, and other people in the neighborhood had very legitimate concerns about all the new homes that would be there. People don't have one car anymore, they have two and three, and unfortunately, they don't always park in their own spot. So here we are looking at this house that we want to create two lots at two houses, so we're increasing the density, we're worsening the parking, and not 6 weeks ago, we were talking about the redevelopment plan and the damage that would do to the neighborhood, and here you're asking us to subdivide lots, make two smaller lots. I just don't see the benefit for the city in any way at all, so I vote no.
Mike Wiesen?
I vote yes. I like seeing brand new stuff brought up to standards. The applicants agree to every suggestion that the board threw out there. You don't usually get that. And to get a house, two houses with fire suppression, I think it's the first one that we've ever voted to have that. And that's why I vote yes.
Peter Taco.
I will vote in favor of the application. I believe that although the lots are undersized, they are consistent with the pattern on the rest of the block, and therefore would not create a detriment. I am concerned about parking, but that's always a concern. They are providing their parking for their buildings, and that's obviously a plus.
Tim Coop.
While I think it's a very nice plan, I don't see the benefit of two additional undersized lots. I don't find the increased density beneficial. So it's a very nice plan, but I am going to vote no.
Greer Gaskell.
I'll vote yes. I believe the variances they're asking for are minor. I don't believe there's a detriment to the neighborhoods. We'll have two new homes.
Wendy Bartlett.
I'll also vote no. I don't think that we should be creating more undersized lots in the city. I mean, it's a very nice, I was torn because it does create no ownership, two nice buildings, two nice homes, but I don't think we should be creating more undersized lots. No.
Okay. I count a 5-4 in favor, correct?
Yes.
Passes.
The application has passed. Thank you very much. Thank you for your presentation. Thank you to the board for your deliberations.
I told you, already knows. Let's be this one. You have to recuse yourself.
I mean, look at that. Now they're 60.
This goes on in
Gallagher. Brian. In a minute, you go. There you go. So we're going to do a preamble on this one, too.
Say again?
We're going to do a preamble. Dan Smith? Dan? Mr. Smith? I'm bored, please. Brian, we're going to start the preamble, and then swear your people in.
Yep.
We'll do a preamble, and then go for it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. The report is based on the application of SJ Office Properties LLC, 501 North Dorset Avenue, Block 286, Lot 1, Ventnor, New Jersey, seeking C variances for minor subdivision approval in the R2 single-family zoning district. located in a preliminary firm zone AE elevation 8. This is a substantial benefit variance. Materials reviewed on the bottom of page 1, continued on 2, as well as the subdivision plan that was reviewed. Similar to the landscape application we just heard, the applicant is proposing to subdivide an existing oversized lot into two non-conforming lots in regard to bulk requirements, area, and width. The site is located on the eastern side of Dorset Avenue at its intersection with Greenlawn Avenue. So it is a corner property. After the subdivision, it will be an interior lot and a corner property. Variance relief is required for the proposed non-conformities. Site is located at an elevation 8 zone and is proposed to be fully compliant. The site is located in the R2 zoning district and fronts on County Road 629. All improvements shall be removed prior to filing the subdivision. Zoning chart is on the bottom of page 2. Contained on page 3, the variances are as follows. For each lot, they require an area variance where 4,800 square feet is a minimum area for newly created lots, 8,000 square feet exists, and 4,000 square feet is proposed for each lot. Same thing with lot width. Proposed lot A and lot B, whereas a minimum lot depth or lot width for newly created lots is 60 feet, 100 feet exists, and 50 feet is proposed for each lot. They are the two variances. They show no renderings of what could be built there, but I think there was a benefit to the last application, but it's not required for this application. And again, all my comments apply to this application. Mr. Callahan?
Good evening. Brian Callahan on behalf of the applicant, S.J. Houck Properties. I have Mr. Houck here and Mr. Barnhart, so why don't we swear them in before we go ahead and start?
Okay. Hey, Steve. Steve and John, just give us your name and business address for the record. I'll swear the two of you in together.
Name is Stephen Howe. Business address 900 West Leeds Avenue, Absecon, New Jersey.
John Barnhart, 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Okay. Could each please raise your right hand? Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
For the record, again, Mr. Barnhart, his credentials are acceptable as an engineer and a planner. He's appeared before here many times.
Give you a quick analysis. All jurisdictional requirements have been met. Once again, the application is to take the existing single-family lot, which is 100 feet, break it into two 50 by 80 foot lots. We're not seeking any other variance relief to doing it. All comments by Roger would be complied with. Sprinkler system, we talked with the client. We would be putting the sprinkler system in the two homes that would be built as a condition of approval. We're on Dorset Avenue. So when you take, well, we don't have a lot of 50 footers around us. We have some 50 footers around us. And when you drive down Dorset Avenue 30 miles an hour, we think that the difference between looking at a 50 foot lot and a 60 foot lot, when you comply with all the setbacks, with the front yard setbacks, the parking requirements, I think it's de minimis. The parking, we're able to come off the side street on the one house on the corner, because we have two front yards, so we're able to do that. The house that would be the interior house, we're proposing as a condition also to do a K-turn for the parking, so that the person, unlike the rest of the houses on Dorset Avenue, instead of backing out, we'll be able to come out, make the K, and come out facing straight. So we don't want to have any problems with the county on doing that type of an application for filing. So other than that, let me call Mr. Barnhart, and he can walk you through the plan.
Okay, so the plan I have at the moment is the subdivision plan that was submitted with the application. There's been no changes to it. As Brian pointed out, or already described, the property is a lot that sits right up on the corner of Dorset and Fremont Avenue. It has a frontage of 100 feet, and it has a depth along Fremont of 80 feet. It is an 8,000 square foot lot as it sits, which is almost 170% of the lot area that's required in this zoning district. So it is a very large lot for this district. currently sitting on the property is a home that is very low. The floor is very low. The building is not compliant with regard to FEMA standards, and is in need of redevelopment. The